my God, sometimes we can sit in Pretoria East and live a very ordinary, comfortable life. There is an adventure in God. Just say yes. Most of us will stay here, but just say yes to Jesus. You know, Clint runs three coffee shops in Durban. He's got his own business there. And he's left those businesses with a manager so that he can come up and be part of 3CR because God has knit our hearts together. And the day before, or 2 weeks before he went to Mozambique, his manager resigned because he wanted to go back and study. And so Clint and Ellen spent some time praying and fasting and trusting God to replace the manager, and they never got a replacement. And so literally the first day, with his business having no manager, he got into his car and drove to Mozambique, trusting God. And had no comms in Mozambique for 10 days. And when he came back, there was an SMS from his manager that said, "You know what, Clint? I missed my registration. I've made a mistake. Do you mind employing me? I'm going back to work today." So his company was not one day without a manager. And he was in Mozambique trying to serve God and thinking his business was uncared for. But the manager came back and worked those 10 days. Just make a step for Jesus. Just make a step for Christ. Because otherwise we live in the confines of our comfortable Christian existence without ever trusting God for the next phase or the miracle, you know? And, you know, I tell hundreds of aeroplane stories, and this time I can't really. I sat next to a guy bigger than me. And as I looked at him, I thought, you and I are going to fight. I just felt the fight in my heart. You know, those guys just do this. So I just said, "Sir, you know what, let's organize this right. We've both paid for half this thing here. So let's just, because I could see you're not open to Jesus and I'm not open to your hand being on my lap." So, and the other guy had a very bad meal somewhere along the line. So he was just bad company the whole way through. So I had a very grumpy flight there, had an incredible conference. And then coming back, I thought, all I want is, we all came back together. All I want is just three seats and nobody next to me bothering me. You know, you get like that sometimes. And as I got on the plane, the guy said, "Hi, Rory." I said, "Hi." He said, "I'm the chief steward of the aeroplane. I've been praying to meet you." And I thought, "Oh, thank you." So I shook his hand and we all got three seats. The plane was empty. And then he came and sat next to my seat and he said, "But there's no one sitting next to you today. So who are you going to minister to?" I said, "Well, maybe I'm not meant to minister to anyone." And he said, "But maybe I'm meant to minister to you." And he said, "Don't you get headaches when you fly?" I said, "Yes, I get headaches when I fly." And he said, "Do you mind if I pray for you?" I said, "I'd love you to pray for me." He said, "I've never prayed for anyone before." And this chief steward of the airplane knelt down in the aisle of the plane, put his hand on my head, and he started to shake. And I felt the power of God come into me. And he just prayed, and he just cried, and I cried, and I thought, "God, you can do anything. You can do anything. You can make us minister to people. You can make people minister to us. We've got air hosts. Yeah, just do something for Jesus. Get the guts to kneel down on a plane and pray wherever your workplace is. Just do something for Christ." Amen? Friends, I went to a play this week produced by people in this church. The main actors were people in this church. And I just sat there and I thought, there's so much talent and so much gifting inside here. Don't waste it. Make a call for Christ. Amen? Anyway, it's nice to see you. And Louise, why don't you stand? This young lady and my family have journeyed many, 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 many miles together. And when my dad died in April last year, she flew out from England so she could play the piano at my dad's funeral. That's what we're trying to build. We're building a family that if you're in trouble, we just get on planes and we travel. We build families like that. Love and respect you and honor you. Great to have you here. And those guys, that family there, were deacons in the church and they heard about the commission, so they just relocated and went to China for about 5 years and just opened their home so that any Chinese person might have the opportunity of meeting Christ. Come on, guys. Come on. Come on, let's smack this Pretoria East thing on its head and live for Jesus. The book of Mark, we're going to look at leprosy people, and all the rich people are going to get a hit on their head today. Another hit on their head if you don't feel like a hit on your head yet. By the end of today, you'll be properly butchered. And And then we're going to go home. And you've got 2 days to recover. Amen. Lovely to see you. Yeah. And because the church is empty because of the long weekend, most of the rich guys have gone to their cottages. But I hope they get. I hope they listen to the download. You know what I'm saying? So I hope we catch them on the rebound. Okay. So all of us here who don't have cottages at the Vaal, it's lovely to see you. And you've got no hunting lodges in the Kruger. Praise God. Let's give it a go. Okay. Okay. So Mark chapter 1 and verse 35. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, went to a solitary place where he prayed. Wasn't John Mark Comer a great blessing to us? Probably one of the best preachers, I think, ever in the life of this church. On Tuesday, we had a time of prayer and fasting for a lady called Marika Waterston. And I met a man at the back, 53 years old. And he said, you know, Rory, I've been serving God for a long time. I've never, ever fasted in my life. Never fasted. He said, today's the first time in my Christian walk that I've fasted. And he said, I've prayed more today than I've ever prayed before for a woman that I don't know. Yo, that's amazing, eh? And then I saw another guy walking in the church with his wife with 15 pizzas. Look at this. He said, how did you come to this church? He said, well, we're not really church people, but some of our friends came back from overseas and they stayed with their in-laws for a while. And then they moved in with us. And she said to us, why don't we go to church one day? And he said, well, we're not really into church. He said, but let's go to church anyway. And so they came to church and Jesus has done a work in their hearts. And now they've got 15 pizzas. And I said, who are all those pizzas for? He says, for the people that don't have anything. See, God's busy building the church. We're not building the church with a pulpit. We're building the church with every little act of kindness. When a 53-year-old man decides to fast for a woman that he doesn't know because the word of God has penetrated him deeply, that's why we change the city. Amen? Jesus went to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him, and when they found him, they exclaimed, everybody is looking for you. Most of our problem, hey? It's just like everybody's looking for you. Jesus replied, let's go somewhere else to the nearby village so I can preach there also. That is why I've come. When you get the priority of your time with God right, you will get the priority of your life right. You will actually do what God has called you to do. Everybody is looking for us will never change. People love the attention of a person in charge or a person who's skilled, but that's not necessarily what God has called us to do. So when you prioritize your time with God, you can prioritize the way that you live your life. So I can preach there. That is why I have come. Say that. That is why. That is why. You've got to answer that question for your life. That is why I have come. That is why I have come. You have to be able to answer that question for your life and build your life accordingly. Your finances, your time, your effort, you build it according to the reason of why you are here. So he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. A man with leprosy, say leprosy, came to him and begged him on his knees, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Filled with compassion, Jesus reached out his hand and he touched the man. I am willing, he said, be clean. Immediately the leprosy left him and he was cured. Jesus sent him away at once with a strong warning. See that you don't tell this to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them. You'll read those in Leviticus 14, and if there are a number of elements, it says you must take blood, you must take oil, and you must take the blood and you must put it on your ear, your right thumb, and your right toe. Very interesting. So when God cleanses you, he cleanses you with blood, which is Jesus, with oil, which is the Holy Spirit, and he teaches you to listen. He teaches you how to grip the faith, because without a thumb you can't grip anything, and your toe is for balance. Take your big toe off and you'll fall over. And so he teaches us how to listen to God, how to grip the things of the gospel, and how to live a balanced, godly life. Amen? Isn't that beautiful? You'll read it in Leviticus 14. Instead, he went out and began to talk freely, spreading the news. As a result, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but stayed outside. Say outside. In lonely places. Oh, work with me. Outside. In lonely places. Yet the people still came to him from everywhere. Friends, I want to just share three things from this particular text today. The first is this. Jesus gives us an example of living. Okay? The second one is leprosy is a sign of sin. Yeah? And the third thing is called the divine exchange. And this is what Jesus does. Because he spends time with the healer, he's able to spend time with the broken. Because he spends time with the healer, he's able to spend time with the broken. The Bible says, filled with compassion, Jesus reached out his hand. I've taught this over many, many years now. This is what God looks like. God is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in love, abounding in faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. When we prioritize our time with God, we start to get filled up with those characteristics. So that when we go into the world that is very broken, including Pretoria, we be able to give compassion to those who need compassion. We can give grace to those who need grace. We can give forgiveness to those who need forgiveness. But if you don't spend time with a healer, you are not a solution to those who are broken. Yeah? If you spend too much time with the broken, you will burn out. John Mark did it. He got up and he said, I led a church of 6,000 people. I counseled. I looked after. They were deceived. They were debauched. They were divorced. They were broken. They were drug addicts. They were, and he gave and gave and gave and gave and gave and gave. And eventually he had nothing less to give, but he spent too much time with the broken and not enough time with the healer. Amen. Now, friends, we have been placed into this city, whether you're an air steward or whether you're a varsity student, we've been placed in this city to receive from the healer to give to the broken. Amen? If you spend too much time there, you get burnt out. If you spend too much time here, you'll end up living in the monastery. And I said to John Mark, it's amazing what you teach us, but your life unchecked will end up in a monastery. He says, that's why I'm so committed to community. And he says, I want to tell you this, I hate going to home group every single Tuesday, but he said, I know I have to go to home group every single Tuesday because my default setting is to go and spend time with God, gracious and compassionate and slow to anger, but then I've got to go into the group of people that need it, and he said, I too need it. You see, sometimes we get this mentality, I'm strong enough. You know, when I got on that airplane, I'd preached many, many times in Qatar. I was exhausted, and I thought, I don't feel like giving to anybody, but right now I need to be ministered to by a man who spent time in the presence of God, and he reached out his hand and he touched me, an air steward. And I felt the power of God enter into me. Spend time with the healer, spend time with the broken, spend time with the healer, spend time with the broken. Amen? Point number one. Point number two. Please turn with me to 2 Kings chapter 5. 2 Kings 5. And we'll look at a story of leprosy. Right throughout the Bible, it's a picture of sin. Two Kings chapter 5. And it says, now Naaman was commander of the army of the king of Aram. He was a great man. Say great man. He was a great man in the sight of his master and highly regarded because through him the Lord had given victory. Great man, highly regarded, victory. He was a valiant soldier, comma, but he had leprosy. But he had leprosy. Starts just with a little spot and then another spot. And in another spot, and it doesn't matter how valiant you are, it doesn't matter how fancy your robe looks, it doesn't matter how big your army is, the Bible says you and I have all got leprosy. And we need the healer to touch us. Now, bands from Aram had gone out and had taken captive a young girl, some say 10 to 12 years old, from Israel, and she served Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "If only my master would see the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy." This is a very amazing story. 10 or 12-year-old girl, he's the commander of the army. He sent raiding parties into her country. They've killed, they've pillaged, they've broken down, they've robbed, they've stolen, they've probably raped, and they've brought some prisoners home. This is a single girl of 10 or 12 years old who probably watched her parents getting killed in front of her eyes, and now she's serving the man who was the commander of that army. She should have actually said, "Let me sit back and watch his fingers fall off one after the next." But she knew Jesus. She knew Jesus. What's happened to you in your life? You see, your boss, who might have caused the greatest pain to your family, you are possibly the only opportunity that he's ever got or she has got of ever finding Christ. And while you're sitting there with a heart issue, the leprosy will just continue to spread through the avenues of your company. Amazing? Naaman went to his master and told him what the girl from Israel had said. "By all means, go," the king of Aram replied. "I will send a letter to the king of Israel." So Naaman left, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 sets of clothing. The letter that he took to the king of Israel read, "With this letter, I'm sending my servant Naaman to you so that you may cure him of his leprosy." You see, the problem in the world, with especially with rich people, is they think we can get a letter from a rich person to a letter from another rich person, and we can meet at this very high end, and we can sort out every solution. Big problem. And so governments write letters to governments, and we think that we can deal with the issue. You can only deal with the issue right down at the base level, which is, I've got leprosy and I need to humble myself before the great king who heals leprosy. And we've got letters going all over the show. And thinking the Lonnies, the rich guys, the captains of industry have got the solution to this nation. The solution to this nation is a humble people and their face before Christ, who can heal with a major issue, which is fundamentally sin in the hearts of human beings. Amen? As soon as the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his robes and said, "Am I God? Can I kill and bring back to life? Why does this fellow send someone to me to be cured of his leprosy? See how he is trying to pick a quarrel with me." When Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, he sent him this message: "Why have you torn your robes? Have the man come to me, and he will know that there is a prophet." So Naaman went with his horses and his chariots, and he stopped at the door of Elisha. Can you imagine it? Rolls Royce, cavalcade, woo, 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 blue light brigade, push you over. Every blue light brigade that comes past me, I feel like I have to keep up with them and just try and nudge them, and they push me out. I don't know why I do it. It's like, woo, woo, like push me out. They wave their fingers. Think you're a leper, you need Jesus. So Naaman went with his horses and his chariots, and he stopped at the door of Elisha's. Elisha sent a messenger to say to him, "Let me tell you, rich people, you're not going to find Jesus on your terms. You think you can write letters to somebody who can sort out your family, and you've got connections, you can get jobs for this. No, God doesn't work at that level. He uses a 10-year-old girl who could have been bitter to remind you of something. And when you arrive at church and you think the pastor's going to come and meet you at the front door with a red carpet, you're going to probably be met by a poor or broken or failed business person that will meet you at the door and say, "Jesus loves you." And you think, where's the entourage? Wow. There's no entourage for rich people. Everybody comes in the same way with humility. Yeah? How are we doing? We'll catch the guys at the beach cottages next week. But Naaman went away angry. And he said, "I thought..." Say, "I thought." That's our biggest problem. I thought surely Rory would phone me. And then there's this girl called Anthea at the office, and she phones me and asks me if I want to be part. It's like, who does Anthea think she is? No, she's just the servant girl who's going to bring the gospel to you, and if you will humble yourself, you will receive it and it'll change your life, sir. Yeah? I thought. That he would surely come out to me. Surely. I'm Naaman. He'd come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, wave his hand over the spot, and cure me of my leprosy. One sentence. Me, my, me. Say that. Me, my, me. You see, the problem with church is like, me, my, I, me, my, I. It's like, it's the biggest problem of the church. It's the biggest problem of the church in Pretoria East. We think that we deserve to be ministered to. It's not about you, sir. And it's not about you, ma'am. You sacrifice your life so that Christ can be put on the throne. And when we exalt Christ, he said, if you lift me up, I will draw all men unto myself. Yeah? It's offensive. It's meant to be. Because it's not about you. And if nobody greets you and nobody bends down to you and nobody, get over it. Love Jesus. Yeah? Are not the, he says, wave at Kumi, are not Abana and Pharpar, because he says he must go and dip himself in the Jordan, go and wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan and your flesh will be restored and you'll be cleansed. He says, are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than any of the waters of Israel? Couldn't I wash in them and be cleansed? So he turned away and he went off in a rage. The three greatest problems to salvation of rich people is this: your personal opinion, what you think God should do for you, your personal advantage, what's in it for me, and the third thing is my personal preference. I don't want to go to that river, I'd rather go to this river. And that's why you're still cross. That's why you're still in a rage. Because nobody's going to bow down to your demands. And Christ says, if you want to get restored, you've got to bow down your knee and you're going to say, I repent in the name of Jesus. You know, the Bible says, he went down into the river. Let's read it. Naaman's servants went to him and said, my father, if the prophet had told you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? That's why the mystics have got so much traction. That's why New Age movement is, because you wave candles and burn incense and you do all these great things and you think you're going to make God happy. If you told me to do a great thing, surely. They said, just go and dip in the river, in that dirty Jordan River. It's not pretty, it's not clean water. Just go and dip yourself in that dirty, and you will come out clean. How much more then? When he tells you, wash and be cleansed. So he went down. Say, went down. Underline in your Bible, he went down. He went down. He went down and dipped himself in the Jordan 7 times, as the man of God had told him. And his flesh was restored and became clean like that of a young boy. Rich man, I say to you today, you can be successful, you can be victorious, you can be dynamic, you can hold the best position in the world, but if you don't know Jesus, you've got leprosy. Dot by dot by dot by dot. And I prophesy to you, it will spread and it will become boils, and those boils will get infected, and eventually you will die, because the wages of sin are death. But if you will go down today, if you will go down today, and bow your knee, you will leave this place with the flesh of a young boy. All your sin washed away. All your guilt and your torment and your condemnation washed away. And you will walk out of here clean, like Jesus cleaned the leper in Mark chapter 1. Amen? Turn me to Leviticus chapter 13. Great scripture. Leviticus 13. If you've done your devotions in Leviticus, it's an amazing thing. It says, when you come, got a sore, it's gruesome. It's like you get yellow sores with black hairs, and you get like reddish sores with white hairs. It's like, yeah. In verse 45, it says, the person with such an infectious disease must wear torn clothes. Let his hair become unkempt. Cover the lower part of his face and cry out, unclean, unclean. As long as he has the infection, he remains unclean. He must live alone. He must live outside. Say outside.
Outside.
Outside the camp. This is not describing today's teenagers. This is just a picture of leprosy. Culturally, we know that for you to say to your child, cut your hair, it's like, oh, Dad, everybody's going to think I'm like a nerd. And like, wear proper jeans. No, Dad, that's not cool. This was uncool. Long hair, unkept hair. Say outside. Let's go back to Mark chapter 1. Instead, verse 45, he went out and began to talk freely, spreading the news. As a result, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but stayed. Say it. What's happened? What's happened? You see, you weren't allowed to touch an unclean person, because when you touched an unclean person, if you were a clean person touching an unclean person, the clean person became unclean. And so everybody avoided the unclean people. Like we think, well, we won't hang around with those guys because they're really unclean. They do drugs and they do this and they do all those things. And so we withdraw ourselves from them and we live in this kind of Christian bubble in Pretoria East. Now our job, friends, is to spend time with God and to reach out with compassion our hand to everybody in the city who is unclean, and they will not tarnish us. We will set them free. And what happens in this thing is what they call theologically the divine exchange. When the story happens, Jesus is on the inside. Remember, he's been in the presence of his Father. He's on the inside. He meets a man who's on the outside. He reaches out his hand to him. And when the story ends, that man is on the inside and Jesus is on the outside. Jesus, who was on the inside, came to those of us who are on the outside. And when he touches us, we're on the inside and he's on the outside. So you never have to feel like an outsider again. Ever have to feel like an outsider again. It's the divine exchange. And there are about 7 or 8 or 9 incidents in the scriptures. And for time's sake, I'll quickly race through 1 or 2 of them. The first one is this in Isaiah 53. It says, he was punished for our peace. He was punished for our peace. And some people actually start cutting themselves because they feel like they need to punish themselves, and some don't do it physically, but they punish themselves all the time for the things that they did. I wish I never did that. I wish I never said that. I wish that didn't happen. And you punish yourself, and you punish yourself, and that punishment sets you as an outsider, and you might as well be going around with unkempt hair and torn clothes, shouting, unclean, unclean. And Jesus Christ and Samson says, I'm going to swap places. I had peace. I'm going to come to your punishment. I'm going to give you my peace. You're going to go inside, and I'm going to take the punishment of the Father upon me. It's called the divine exchange. And later on Isaiah 53, it says, he was struck, he was beaten, and by his stripes I am healed. He was smacked so that I can be healed. And the reason why we pray for Marika Waterston, friends, not for Marika Waterston's peace, we are praying for Marika Waterston's healing. Because Jesus got struck so that I can be healed. Where my body has been broken, he brings wholeness. Inside of the cross of Christ is healing. And if you're sick here today, I want to pray that what Jesus did in Mark chapter 1, he can do with your body today. Turn to Mark 15 quickly, please. I'm nearly finished. Mark 15. And I think this is for some people here today. It says, at the 6th hour, verse 33, At the sixth hour, darkness came over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? When some of those standing near heard this, they said, listen, he's calling Elijah. One man ran, filled a sponge with wine vinegar, and put it on a stick, and offered it to Jesus to drink. Now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to take him down, he said. And with a loud cry, Jesus breathed his last. Now friends, you've heard me say this before, but those sponges was not some kind of a sponge that you took out of a sanitary cupboard. That was the sponge that people used to wipe their bottoms in a public latrine system. They would wipe their bottoms and then they would take that sponge and they would throw it down into the waterworks at the bottom and they would clean it and they would put it there for the next person. That's the sponge that they stuck into wine vinegar and that's the sponge that they stuck into Christ's mouth. All our rubbish, all our sin, all our disqualifications, he swallowed it and then he said, it's finished. It's finished. Turn to Psalm 69. Actually, don't turn there. I'll read it to you. Psalm 69 says this. Verse 7. I endure scorn for your sake, and shame covers my face. I'm a stranger to my brothers, rejected by his brothers, an alien to my own mother's sons, rejected by my own brothers. It goes on to say, do not hide your face from your servant. Answer me quickly, for I am in trouble. You know that I am scorned. Say scorned. Disgraced. And shamed. All my enemies are before me. Scorn has broken my heart and has left me helpless. I looked for sympathy, but there was none. For comforters, but I found none. They put gall in my food and gave me vinegar for my thirst. Psalm 69 is what happens in Mark chapter 15. Scorned, despised, rejected. I looked for comfort, I found none. I've been a... And Jesus said, I'm going to take all of that, all your scorn, all your shame, all your rejection, I'm going to take all of that and I'm going to give you my acceptance. I'm going to do an exchange today. People ask me this question, why do you speak so much about divorce? Why do you do that? I don't think there's a greater human relationship where rejection is felt more than when a man or a woman rejects you for somebody else. My sister left this morning. She's been staying in my house for 2 days. Every time I look at her, I just want to weep. But Jesus says, I'm going to change places with you. I'm going to change places. I'm going to take your shame. I'm going to take your rejection. I'm going to look for sympathy for my Father, but at that moment, the Father turns away. And I will drink all of that into me. And I'm going to give you my acceptance. I'm going to change places. I'm going to live outside so that you can live inside. The life of Christ says, when I spend time with the healer, I can spend time with the broken. Leprosy is a sin. And if you will go down and humble yourself, you will leave here with skin like the skin of a young boy. And if you will allow right now, God, to do an exchange in your life, to do an exchange from punishment to peace, from sin to righteousness. It says in 2 Corinthians 8, although I was rich, I became poor, so that you who are poor can become rich. Unemployment is a curse that was dealt with at the cross. I'm going to pray for 3 things. I'm going to pray for healing. I'm going to pray for jobs. And I'm going to pray for acceptance. Just close your eyes if you don't mind. If you need a job here today, so lift your hand, put it up and put it down. Lots of people. You need acceptance. You felt rejected, shamed, despised. Put your hand up and put it down. Thank you. And if you punish yourself because of your past, you want the peace of God, just slip it up Slip it down. And the Bible says signs and wonders follow the preaching of the word. You see, you can live with your emotions, you can live with the lies of the devil, or you can trust God to put his word into place. You can trust God to put his word into place. This is a little story of what Jesus does for us. Him who is on the inside comes to those who are on the outside and touches them with compassion so that those on the outside can always live on the inside while he lives on the outside. Jesus, I pray right now that you do a miracle with this word. We don't have to shout, we don't have to scream, we just have to believe. We just have to believe. It's not some high level thing between kings, Lord God, at a letter with official stamps on. It's not at that level. It's at the level where servants come. Maybe I come like a 12-year-old girl or a 10-year-old girl today, Lord God, and say to people, if you just humble yourself and trust God, just trust God, he can do an amazing work in your life. He can do a deep work in your heart right now.